Afternoon. Good afternoon. So my name is James. It is my privilege to share with you the message this afternoon. It's my privilege to serve IBC as its pastor. Let us once again pray. I invite you to once again close your eyes as we come before the Lord and prepare our hearts for what he has for us today. Heavenly Father, I love that song. Holy is your name. Your love is perfect. It is perfect. It is without spot. It is without blemish. Your sacrifice, Jesus, on the cross was perfect. There is not a single thing that we can do. I thank you so much for your grace. There's nothing that we can do but just accept this wonderful gift of grace. And as we turn to your word now, I pray, would your word speak into our hearts? Would your word, Father, correct, encourage, rebuke, build up my brothers and sisters here today? To your name alone, God, be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been going through a sermon series entitled Christian Living. Every week, we have been asking ourselves the question, how then should we live? How should we live as Christians? We have been thinking practically. The Bible is a very practical book, and we have been thinking practically. And today is the end of this sermon series, and the title for the sermon today, Being an Ambassador of Christ. So in the sermon series, just a very quick flyby recap of what we have spoken about, what we have seen in the Word, what it looks like to live as a Christian. We must learn to deal with temptations. We are all united in the fact that we go through temptations. Jesus understands what it means to go through temptations. We must resist the devil. James 4:7, resist the devil, he will flee from you. We then looked at the importance as Christians to have a day of rest. That there has been a day set apart that we are to keep holy. Jesus says that we are to have a day set apart, finding our rest in him, in Jesus. It's important for us as Christians. We then looked at we are to honor God with our bodies. That our bodies are not our own, they are the Lord's. We then looked at keeping ourselves pure, free from sin. We looked at being a trustworthy steward in our money, finances, that everything we own is the Lord's. Then we looked at a question that is very important that we'll touch on again today. How do I know I am saved? Because if we are to be an ambassador of Christ, we must have assurance of our own salvation. Last week, we looked at living in harmony with others. We looked at the fact that before the creation of the world, before God is creator, God is Father, because he was eternally loving the Son receiving that love. This is a God that we worship who is giving, outgoing. The love is always outgoing. As Christians, we will look at today, we are also to have an outward focus. Jesus told us, do not hide your lamp, your light, upon a bowl. Put it up onto a stand. We are to live in this way as ambassadors for Christ. We will look at that today. So I'm going to focus just on two verses, but for the context, again and again, I've been sharing, let's have the context. Let's not just get verses out of their context. It is important for us to understand the context. And so I want to start off in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but I'm going to read verses 11 to 21. But today we'll just focus on 18, 19, and 20. So if you have a Bible, I hope you do. I know it's going to be up on the screen, but it's nice to have it in print, right? For some of us. I love print. So, verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is the Lord's word. So, three things that we are going to take from our text today, verses 18, 19, and 20, as we go through our sermon. First thing, you pass on what you receive. Second thing, you have a message of reconciliation. And thirdly, you are an ambassador for Christ. If you are a Christian, then you are an ambassador for Christ. So firstly, let's take a look. You pass on what you receive. Verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. When you became a Christian, God reconciled you to himself through Christ. This is a work that God does. God does the work of drawing us to him. A verse that backs up verse 18 is John 6:44. John 6:44 says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." This does not mean drawing like with a pencil or thing. The word of draw is an important word, to attract. He is the one who brings us to him. Now, this is not a biblical image that I'm going to give you. If you know a Bible verse for it, that would be great. But I like to think of God sometimes as a divine magnet. A huge, irresistible, divine magnet drawing us to him, attracting us to him. Now, the magnetic force of this magnet may not be so strong. It's not like, okay, it's irresistible, you can't do a single thing, because we know that sometimes we resist the magnetic force for some time. But at the end of the day, God knows who are his. Before the foundation of the world, God loved, chose, predestined you, and has drawn you accordingly to him. God is the one who does this. He is the one who gets you seeking. He is the one who gets you thinking. He is the one who gets you praying in the first place. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. We inherited it, but the second Adam has restored it. So if you are a Christian, there is no more rebellion for you. The revolt, the insurrection is over. There is peace. You may rest in what Jesus has done for you. And now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been sent out, and God will use you to reconcile others to him. Now, there is a spiritual principle underlying all of this. It's a spiritual principle that I think we know. Where I'm going to go is this. The how God reconciled you to him. The drawing, attracting process is important. Let me say it this way. If you like football, because when you were younger, some football coach had a big impression on you and gave his passion of football to you, it is common for you when you grow up to want to coach other people because you pass on what you have received. We know this principle. If you have gone through counseling, very often the result of going through counseling, you want to pass it on to other people. If you have come from an abusive home, you may have a special heart for those also going through that. I have a special heart for those who are addicted, lonely, and hopeless, because I was addicted, lonely, and hopeless. When I got sober from alcoholism, when I was 27, I was a little embarrassed about where I had come from. I had done a lot of drinking, and what I really wanted was just to have a fresh slate, keep it all clean. I just wanted to kind of forget the last 13, 14 years, and just, well, that was that. I'm just going to start life again, 27. Let's begin. But what I slowly realized in my life is that God had other plans. He was going to use all of that brokenness to help me remember where I'd come from and to give others hope who could relate in a specific way. Your testimony, your past, the process of how God reconciled you to him is important. God will use it to reconcile others to him. He will use it, if you let him, to get other people questioning, other people thinking, wow, if God can do that in him, maybe there's something for me. Other people stirred up, if you allow him. He continues to draw you to him and hold you fast to the cross, despite your tendency and my tendency to try and drift away. Our testimonies are important. They show us we're not all generic ambassadors. We're going to talk about what an ambassador is a bit later. But one thing to have in our mind, we don't all have the same uniform. We don't all have the same diplomatic mission, the same haircut, the same clipboard. We all have this ministry of reconciliation. Yes, we are all called to share the gospel. But God will use the process, how he reconciled you to him, if you allow him. Now, there's another principle, another key question that we need to ask ourselves here. If we are to pass on what we have received, well, the question is, have you received it? Have you been reconciled to God? And if so, are you resting then in this? Are you resting in the fact the rebellion is over? The insurrection is over. You can rest now in this truth. This is why I mentioned the assurance of our salvation. To be at peace and rest in the fact you are a child of God is important for us to be clear when we go out. Because we cannot pass on what we don't have. You cannot give to other people what you are still lacking in yourself. This is a principle that the Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, in a book about revival, gets at. I love Charles Spurgeon, and so I have an excuse to give a quote to you from him. The one thing I want to say is this. You cannot get out of the church what is not in it. The reservoir itself must be filled before it can pour out a stream. We must ourselves drink from the living water until we are full. That is a wonderful image. Let me say that again. We must ourselves drink from the living water until we are full, and then from us will flow rivers of living water, but not until then. Out of an empty basket, you cannot distribute loaves and fishes, however hungry the crowd may be. So the first thing is to look well to home affairs. Here is a tension that we must, well, tension maybe is not the right word, but here is something we must deal with this ministry of reconciliation. When it comes to going out and telling people and putting our light up on that stand and saying, be reconciled to God, we cannot wait until all of your issues are resolved, you've memorized every single Bible verse, and your life is in order. Because your whole life is a process of being sanctified. Plus, it is in the going out that you grow yourself. A light that has put a bowl over it, what happens to it? It starts to dim. It starts to get a little. You can't see it. As my friend Aaron said, beliefs which are not expressed start to erode away. Yet at the same time as this, we must hold in our hands what Charles Spurgeon has said. We must look well to home affairs. Because we can't pass on to others what we can't, what we don't have ourselves. Am I growing in godliness? Am I growing in purity of heart? Am I learning to wait upon the Lord? The roots of God's love must go down deep for the fruit to be long-lasting. And we want long-lasting fruit. This is the first thing we get from our text. We must pass on. We are to pass on what we receive. Second thing, verse 19. You have a message of reconciliation. Let me read the verse again. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That is so wonderful. I actually love this verse. I've always loved it. To have that, you have a ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That is the gospel message. That is the gospel message. The message that you are far from God. You are far from God, unreconciled, in rebellion, walking in darkness, headed on that wide path towards eternal punishment. But God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, who he had been loving for eternity, to take your place and die for your sins after living a perfect, sinless life, the perfect sacrifice. And so when you repent and you believe in him, what Jesus has done is accounted to you. You were dead in your sins. I was dead in my sins. Not a single thing I could have done. Christ did it all. That gift of grace is just one that I accept, that I just accept. And now I can boldly go before the throne of grace. Unearned. What a gift. Now, let us look to home affairs for a second. And let us ask ourselves a question about this message, because I'm hoping that you, if you're a Christian, you know that message very well. That is the message which you accepted. And you may be nodding along and believing that message. But here's a question for us. When you or I, when we sin, which if we're honest, is quite a lot, when we mess up, do we preach that message of reconciliation to ourselves? This gospel message can easily just be a whole lot of words just out there, and our lives are going on out here. Do you preach it to yourself? Here are two common responses to sin which show we have not truly, truly understood this message or are not applying it in our daily lives. First common response to sin. If, when we sin, we try to cover it up quickly, we try to hide it, we don't confess it, That's the first common response. If that happens and you're a born-again Christian, you do not lose your salvation, but what does happen, the relationship between the Lord is hindered now. Your heart can become harder now. You can start drifting now. Second common response when we sin. We start doing a lot of good stuff. We start doing a lot of good deeds, thinking, I need to reconcile myself to God now. Or I need to kind of tiptoe away for a little bit before I can come before God now. Both of those responses, if you see yourself in those responses, we have not truly, this message needs to go deeper into your heart, and you need to apply it in your daily life. And that is the case for all of us, I would say. We can learn a lot from kids. I have two kids. When my kids mess up, when they are disrespectful, if they're disobedient, and my wife and I, we discipline them, what often happens is they go away, and a little bit later, they come and they say, often genuinely sorry. They're sorry for what they've done. And we forgive them. What never happens after this is we start hearing the sound of vacuuming going on in the house. And we're thinking, whoa, the kids are vacuuming all of the home. They're cleaning all of the windows. They're doing all of these jobs. Why are they doing these jobs? Yeah, to make it up. To make it up to us. Or I ask my wife, where are the kids? They're still in their rooms. They've been in their rooms for days now. They're still beating themselves up about what they did. This never happens. That would be weird. Because in a very simple, childlike way, when we say, I forgive you, they accept it and carry on with the loving relationship. Here's the question. Do you do that with your Heavenly Father? Do we understand the gift of grace that has been given? This gift of grace warms you. It frees you. It releases you. When you experience it, you don't want to sin again. It is never a free pass to keep on sinning for those who experience it, because we can't do that to our loving Savior. We are to go out with our message. And we're going to talk about that now. We are to go out with this message of reconciliation. But be careful, Christian. Be careful not to make it into a 3-minute formula that you know very well, but do not apply to your own life. And here's the test. Here's the test whether you really understand it. When you're struggling, when the enemy comes prowling like a roaring lion with those lies, and you know the lies. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You need to try harder. When he comes with that lie, do you apply the gospel message in those situations? We can know a lot of gospel truths, but the test is whether we apply them when we're struggling and we're overwhelmed. These gospel truths are things that angels never get tired of looking at. 1 Peter 1. They never get tired of looking at them. Last part then. We have a message of reconciliation. And you and I, we are ambassadors. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You are Christ's ambassador with this message of reconciliation. Now, we are an international church, and it could be that a few of us here are actually diplomats, that maybe one or two of us actually is an ambassador. Now, one thing I think we all know about being an ambassador, you cannot represent a country which is not your own. So if you are from China, you cannot be here in Germany representing Italy, telling us all about how Italy is great at football and how you won the World Cup 4 times, and pizza and pasta, all that stuff. That would be absurd. We know that to be an ambassador, you need to represent the country. Paul describes you and I as Christians, as citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 tells us this, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. So your spiritual passport is stamped with heaven on it. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, signed with the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. Unlike in Germany, you cannot have dual citizenship. You can't have two. You had to give up your worldly passport when you took on your home country, heaven passport. Christian, do not try to take back the worldly passport. It's gone. For the rest of your life, you are living in a foreign country as an alien, as a stranger. Your home country is heaven. Now, if the Bible describes us as ambassadors, I think it would be a good idea to know what is an ambassador. What does an ambassador actually do? Well, an ambassador represents their country and their country's interests in that foreign country. They promote their interests. And one thing is the ambassador always represents the country. Sometimes you can even see from the ethnicity of the ambassador, that guy does not come from Germany. For a lot of people, that ambassador is the living embodiment of that country. What they say, what they do, that gives the person a good idea of what it means to come from that country. Similarly, Christian, as an ambassador for Christ, you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what you say, what you do, matters. Again, Paul tells us this. Colossians 3:17 tells us that. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If somebody knows that you're a Christian, you can't hide. You're always living in this foreign country. This world is not your own. They'll be watching you carefully, what you say and what you do, as an ambassador, a representative of Christ. Now, we actually have a friend of ours, a friend of my wife's, who actually is a diplomat. And she works, she is not the ambassador, but she works as the chancellor, which is the second of the ambassador. And what she does is she goes and promotes Germany in other countries. And so if she's in a foreign country and maybe she will organize an event telling people about Germany, or maybe somebody wants to study in Germany, then she will help them, support them and help them out. Now, one time I had like a logic moment and I asked my wife, well, I guess your friend really likes Germany then. Like, they must really like talking about Germany, right? They are representative of Germany. And my wife was a bit surprised by this. It's like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't think she's really patriotic. She's very kind. She's very level-headed. And she loves traveling and seeing other countries. But I'm not sure. And the truth is, you don't have to love the country. It would help. We don't have to love it, because at the end of the day, it's a job. It's just a job, right? But as an ambassador for Christ, I want to ask you the same question. Do you like talking about Jesus? Do you love thinking about your home country, heaven? Colossians 3:1, let heaven fill your thoughts. As ambassadors for Christ, let us never go through the motions and just do the duty. Let us never think of it as just a job, and it can easily become like that. This is just a job that we do. I know the message. I know how I should speak. I know the language. I'm just going to do my duty. Let us never do that. If you really want to love talking about Jesus, you must be caught up with the message yourself. You must be in a love relationship with Jesus. The gospel message, that message I just told you, must capture your heart, the staggering beauty and wonder of it all. Because that is very attractive to other people, very attractive. If we are to be ambassadors, this is vital. Now, just as I end, let me say one last thing about this point. We don't have to be evangelists. It's not about that. Often when we think of going out, we think evangelists. I am sure that there are some ambassadors who are really gung-ho evangelist ambassadors. They're in the foreign country. They go around on some promotional campaign. Yeah, it's Germany's great. Whatever country it is, this country's great. To be an influential ambassador, you don't have to be like that, but you do have to believe the message yourself. And you do have to be caught up in its unbelievable beauty. Here's a question. Are you caught up in the beauty of the gospel? Do you rest in the joy of your salvation? This is key, Christian. This is key. We can lose it. We can lose the joy of our own salvation if we are under a heavy weight of condemnation, of guilt that comes from not accepting the gift of grace, or our hearts have become hardened because we have not daily confessed our sins. If you are here today and you are struggling with that joy of salvation, I want to encourage us to pray according to David's psalm. Psalm 51, verse 12 says this: "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." My prayer for you and my encouragement for you this week, pray that this gift of grace will nestle down deeper into your heart. Preach it to yourself, preach it to other Christians, and pray that the Lord would restore that joy of your salvation so you may be able to joyfully go out and share the message of reconciliation that you have, that I have. Let me pray this right now. Let me ask us just to bow our heads. And actually, what I like to do is just take a moment of silence, because it could be that you are struggling at this moment with that joy of salvation, and you really do not want to go out. You don't want to let your light shine. You want to hide it. I just pray, if this is you, let us just be silent before the Lord right now and let the Holy Spirit minister to your hearts before I pray upon you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray, if there is anybody here, and I think there is, who is really struggling with the joy of their salvation, to really rest in what you have done for them, Jesus, I pray, would you speak into this situation? And Lord, would you be so merciful and graceful to show them that it is all a gift of grace? They don't have to strive and strive. You've done it all, Jesus, through your perfect sacrifice. May you help my Christian brother and sister to rest in this truth. Would you help them to come before you, and would you be so gracious as to restore to them the joy of their salvation so we can joyfully go out and share this wonderful news of what you have done for us, Jesus. In your name, I pray. Amen.